Hello, Facebook, and hello to the listeners of the James Sinclair podcast show. This is where entrepreneurs and business owners go to gather around the metaphorical fireside and have a little chinwag, chitty chat about growing their business. And today's subject here on the podcast is this. We're looking at the tasks of the greatest entrepreneurs. What do these great entrepreneurs get up to? And these are people that I've looked at over history, your Richard Bransons, your Elon Musks, your Bill Gates, your Stevie Jobs, the Michelle Moans. I'm trying to think of some other great female entrepreneurs. This doesn't come over as a sexist show. Any ideas? What? Got any ideas, Liz? No.
Therein lies a story.
No, there is some. What's the lady from America? She's a great talk show. Oprah Winfrey. I believe she was the first billionaire. Female billionaire in the United States of America and a fabulous entrepreneur. So both females and men that we've tracked here on this podcast to really help grow your business. If you are listening on to a podcast and you're loving what we're doing, we'd love you to give us a review either on our Facebook page, but preferably on your favorite podcast platform. So whether that be Spotify, whether that will be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or the usual hitters, please go and do that for us as we get into now discussing the traits of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. Number one, I suppose it's because we've done the final edit, ladies and gents, of our latest book, Getting Customers, How to Get Customers Faster, Quicker, and with less money than you ever thought was possible, we've done the final edit and we've sent it off now to the press people that turn it into a lovely book. So we've done that. And I suppose that really kicks off with the number one, the first and greatest traits of entrepreneurs is that they know how to get customers. They're great at marketing. Entrepreneurs need to be great at marketing. They need to know how to get customers. They need to know the power of headings. Hey, we've been working out the subheading of our book. Four people, I'm telling you now, four people, Chudders, listen, myself and Chris Newton, who's edited this book, we got him round and we was discussing on this subheading. Probably 4 hours work, if you added up everyone's time, went into the heading of this book. That's how powerful headings can be in actually getting people to acquire and become a customer of yours. And people just forget this stuff. The power of great headings and the power of great marketing can really turn people into customers. And usually, gang, let me tell you now, it's usually tiny little tweaks. I think now with our farm bot where I'm recording, this is where our office is. You know, we've already sold half as many tickets as we did last year for the summer holidays here at Marsh Farm, pre-in-advance tickets, much further forward than we usually do. And I think, you know, we've got the strength of the heading. We've called it a children's festival. Last year, we called it a great day out. And I think those tiny little powers of language, those tiny little powers of language can actually dramatically increase the customer acquisition rate that you can get. And I think great entrepreneurs understand this. The problem is people get so dogged down into the operations, they forget. Actually, here's the thing, right? You know, I'm going to put it out there and say this, you know, it's not the best business that gets the work, it's the best known business that gets the work. Now I'm not saying that we create some false business that doesn't do a great job, but actually it's the best known business that gets the business. There's plenty of restaurants that I know that are owned by owner managed people that are fantastic restaurants, but McDonald's, the best known, gets all the work. And I think there's a big lesson here for entrepreneurs. You've got to become the best known. What are the strategies and tactics that you're putting in place to be the best known? Let me read you through now some of the lists and some of the stuff that I've been up to in my business. Hang on a sec, sorry about that, Chance. I just locked something on the floor there. Number one, I've been speaking to the team about daily emails. Should we be doing daily emails to get more people to our festival? Are we doing new announcements to keep trickling feeding? Are we updating our videos to get customers to re-engage with us? I've said I want to do 5 podcasts this week. I want to speak to an agency about setting up Amazon for our Build-A-Bear Teddy Bear, Teddy Tastic company, to see if we can generate more sales that way. Ring some people people about feedback on a new seminar course on property that I'm running? Have we booked onto the training of the CRM so that we are better at getting emails through? Have we set up a free webinar for our property course so that people can come and spend an hour with me and understand what we're all about and come on that free webinar? I want to do 150 tweets this week. I need to call this certain person on marketing to see if they can help us. I've contacted the BBC today, and the BBC are coming down to the farm next Thursday to do an interview with me about the rise of the Children's Festival. Here's the pattern here, gang, and the list, that's about half of this. What I'm trying to say on here is I'm spending more of my time on getting customers than operations. That's where I spend my time. And that, why do I do this? Because when I was 16, I read Losing My Virginity by Richard Branson, and he really impressed on to me the importance of marketing and getting customers, because it's the best known business that catches the worm, not the best business that catches the worm. Now, you might need to be the best business long term to continually catch the worm, but here's the thing, don't forget that analogy, guys. There's far better restaurants than McDonald's, but McDonald's are the ones that win because they're the best known. So that's them. I think that covers the getting customers, the being great at marketing point. Let's move on, continue to learn. Here's something that I'm continually listening to books. I'm continually reading books. If you look on my iPhone, you will see that the most opened apps on my iPhone are always news apps. I spend way more time on the Telegraph and the Apple News app and the Google News app than I do on social media, because I want to educate myself on what's going on business, what's going on entrepreneurship, what's going on in the world of politics, so that I can keep feeding my brain. LBC, it's a radio station here in the United Kingdom that I love listening to because it feeds me and continues to learn. I go to seminars still. I still do online training. I'm still trying to train. If you're not training yourself, you're not gaining for yourself. Here's the next thing, the point number three that I think the greatest entrepreneurs of all time do, is they employ people full time. Here, I can tell you now, when I meet someone and they say, hey, I've got a virtual assistant, I'm like, oh, good for you, you've got your virtual assistant. Well, you're just putting a barrier in your way by not having the pressure of actually employing a team and building a business. What you're doing is building a profitable job. Great entrepreneurs realize that they need to build a team around them. You have to build a team around you. You cannot be successful as a one-man blooming army. Next thing, we focus on the three key elements of great leadership and entrepreneurship. I call it IMC, that's innovation, marketing, and culture. Let's quickly break those down into this tiny little segment. We want to be on innovation. If you do not innovate your business, you will evaporate in business. Next, we focus on marketing so that we're always getting customers into our business. We want to be the best known business out there. Next thing, culture. If you've got a great culture in your business, everyone's going to be with you, behind you, and pushing for you. And the companies that have the best culture always get higher sales, which is a fantastic thing. Great entrepreneurs, this is point number four, are also very good at raising capital and learning how to raise more capital. If you're going to build a big business, then you're going to have multiple facets of capital raising. Nowadays, there's more ways to raise capital than ever before. Peer-to-peer lending, your traditional banks, venture capitalists, crowdfunding, tons, lease finance, it doesn't stop. You can even sell equity and shares, angel investors. This is now easier than ever before, but there are certain skill sets that you need to learn when it comes to raising capital, and there's ways that you present to raise capital easier. You need to learn this stuff. We've done videos on our YouTube channel. Please check our YouTube channel, search James Sinclair, 380 videos, and there's videos specifically on this subject. And I will do another podcast maybe this week on how to raise capital easier. So listen out for those in the coming days, ladies and gentlemen. Point five, I think we're on five now. It might be six, five or six. We're going to go with five. Point number five is you insist on implementation of ideas. Hey, you know, ideas are nothing without implementation. Everyone's had ideas. It's the implementation, the getting stuff done that great entrepreneurs do so spectacularly well. We have to implement. Ideas are just ideas. It's the implementation of ideas, the getting stuff done, the making stuff happen that makes stuff happen. You look, you know, you got a list here on my desk. I've got another list for my long-term goals that I put in a frame that sits on my desk, and I'm looking at both of these lists all the time to make sure that I'm banging stuff out, getting stuff done. And here's the last point. Now, this is either point six or point seven. I don't know where we got because we're rambling on. We've got loads of stuff to discuss here in this podcast. Is that you have to make a start. There is a magic in making a start and then do your improvements as you go. Too many people want to be perfect first and then they never make a start and never get stuff over the line. My view is you get stuff started and then you look for continuous improvement, and that's how you get into marketplace. And I always think of the story here of VHS and Betamax videos, which if you go back sort of 20 years ago when people had videos, Betamax was the more superior product, but VHS got to market quicker. And that story has been repeated time and time over history, and because they became the best known, they were the ones that got the bacon, as if it were. Let me say hello to some of the people listening live on Facebook. Hello to Mark Cranmer, hello to Vicky, hello to Dave, hello to Chris, and hello to Dominic. Hello, Dominic. And hello to Kirsty. Thank you very much for listening in. If you've only just caught the tail end of this, this will be going up on your favourite podcast platform. It'll probably be available tomorrow, but we're continually putting out tons more Apple podcasts. This is the James Sinclair Audio Show. We're on your favourite podcast platform to help you grow your business. Hope you really enjoyed that. Please leave us a review. Tell us what you think. And if there's any subjects you'd like us to cover, then leave them in the comments either on Facebook or on your favorite podcast platform, and we will do our best to make that happen. Thanks for listening, guys. To your continued success. Bye-zy-bye.